Morning. We are on Daf Tzadi Beis Amud Beis in the Ein Yaakov Mavar on page Samach Dalet, the first word. The Nelif Memitim Shechaya Yechezkel. Let's learn from the Mesim that Yechezkel revived. Yechezkel Navi, famous story, the dry bones, which we will discuss at length in over more than one day coming up soon. Savarla, command, so why don't we learn from the Mesim that Yechezkel revived? Savarla, command Amar, Bemet Mashal Haya. He holds like the opinion, which we will see in the Brisa that's quoted, but not today, that the whole story of Yechezkel and the dry bones was a mashal, never happened. It was just a parable or a metaphor. Okay. Nelif. Let's learn what from the Mesim that Yechezkel revived. So Rashi says, right there on the same page, Shechazru umeitu. The Mesim that Yechezkel revived died afterward. So too, let us learn from there that the Mesim that Hashem will revive in the future will die. According to Rashi, the Gemara is referring back to the immediately previous piece of Gemara on page Samech Bet. Tana de Be'eliyahu, Tzadikim Shatir HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Achayotani Nan Chozim L'Afaram, that Tzadikim that Hashem will revive will not return to their dust. What do you mean? The Mesim that Yechezkel revived returned to their dust? Rashi says, Kach Shamati, that's what I heard is the correct interpretation. And then he tells us when Yechezkel lived. Yechezkel higlahu Nebuchadnezzar in Yechoniah Melch Yudah. Yechezkel was one of the exiles 11 years before the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. He was exiled with Yechoniah Melch Yudah. We know that phrase from Megillas Esther. Mordechai was also one of the exiles who were exiled with Yechoniah Melch Yudah. V'ya Yechezkel mitnabe b'Bavel v'Yirmiah b'Eretz Yisrael. Yechezkel prophesied in Bavel. And Yirmiyah prophesied in Eretz Yisrael, Botan Achadasrei Shana Shemach Tzidkiyah, during the 11 years that Tzidkiyah ruled. Rashi continues, Be'emet v'barur, for sure. Mashal haya, it was a mashal. The Gemara later is going to question the use of the word Be'emet. We're not going to get there today. Mashal haya, Shayam Ramez la'am ala galut, kadam meit shechozer v'chai. It was all a mashal for the nation that was in Galus, like a nation, like a man who's dead and will come back to life, Kach Yisrael Yeshuv Min HaGalut. So too, Yisrael will come back to life. Rav Sadia Gaon addresses the people who say that all the psukim about Chesem Esim are just a mashal for the nation being revived. And he says that the Gemara says that this pasuk, according to one opinion, we'll see it's a machlokas. According to one opinion, this pasuk is a mashal. Gemara doesn't say that about other psukim. And as we discussed once before here in another shiur, He gives us criteria how to know when to take a pasuk out of the pshat, when to say that a pasuk is a parable or something. But he says if you go too far with this, you'll end up saying that the whole Torah is a parable and the whole idea of putting on tefillin is a parable and nobody's going to put on tefillin, no one's going to keep kosher, no one's going to keep Shabbos. It's all a parable, and clearly that's not a correct interpretation of the Torah. So unless you have a reason, you don't say that a pasuk is not to be taken literally. So according to Rashi, the Gemara's question was, why don't we learn from the Mesim that Yechezkel revived and then they died, that so too, other, after Chesem Mesim, everyone will die again. And he answers that the Tana de Be'eliyahu holds that the whole story with Yechezkel was a mashal, it never happened. The Marsha takes issue with Rashi's interpretation. That's all we're going to need the Svarim for today. Rashi says, Perish Rashi, Shechazur Meitu Kach Tzadikim Shatir V'chulei Ad Kano Shano. He quotes Rashi V'kasha. Says this is difficult. Lefize to have a Tzadikim La'atid Amar Kain. The Lemalatan Shechliu V'lo Yachzur La'faran. Says first of all, the Gemara was speaking in praise of Tzadikim in the future, saying that they won't return to dust. What does that have to do with the Mesim who Yechezkel revived, who, according to many, were Rishayim, or at best regular people? Why would we compare the Tzadikim in the future to them? Gam Lashon V'Nelif Lo Mashmakein. And the word V'Nelif, let us learn from.
Why do we know anything about the people who Yechezkel revived? I mean,
that's going to be an upcoming sugya. Okay. Who were these people? we'll see. And the Marsha says, Gam Lashon V'Nelif Lo Mashmakein. Furthermore, the language V'Nelif, let us learn from. Usually learning from means I'm looking for a source for a concept. Okay. If the way Rashi's learning, the Gemara should have said something like, you know, Rami so and so Astakasha, or Matkifla so and so, I guess would be better. So and so challenged from the following pasuk, okay. Not V'Nelif. Let us learn out from here. So V'Lulei Pirusho. If not, so he has these two kashas and Rashi. Still, he's very respectful. He says V'Lulei Pirusho. If not for Rashi, I would have explained it like this. We just spent, this is, I think, our 31st shiur, and we spent many of them discussing various proofs that there is Tchias HaMesim. Why didn't anybody bring this proof? That's the Marsha says. That's what I would have said the question is. And Nalif, let us learn that there's Tchias HaMesim from the fact that Yechezkel did Tchias HaMesim. You see, there's such a concept. we were trying to bring sources to counter those who deny Tchias HaMesim. Okay. Lomar Shudavar Shiavshar, Kofrim said, it's impossible. Kehu mina dechaye meitin demeite chayin, like the one who said, those who are alive die. Those who are dead will come back to life. Could you be a Kesar, or like the Kesar who said, "Va'afra mikachaye"? Can dust come to life? Can dirt come to life? So parechacha. So against that, the Gemara asks, "The Nelef leim etim shachia Yechezkel. Why didn't we bring a proof from the Mason that Yechezkel revived? Shachiyahu davar bechok haefshar. That Tchias Mason is possible. They were saying it's not possible. Yeah, it's possible. Look, it happened already. And God can do it. And therefore, you should believe in Tchias HaMesim. And to that, the Gemara answers that they would say, I hold like the Mandamar who says Tchias HaMesim, that the whole incident of Yechezkel is just a story. It never happened. It's a mashal. So that's what Marsha says. So the Iyun Yaakov defends Rashi and says, can't be what the Gemara is saying, because we already had Gemara that said on Daf Tzadi Tanya Rabbi Simai Omer. Okay. I'm sorry, next Gemara. Shalut Tzidukim Rabbi Gamliel. Minayin Shekadosh Baruch Hu Mechaye Meitim. The Tzidukim Asher Rabbi Gamliel. How do we know that the Kadosh Baruch Hu revives the dead? Amarlan Mina Torah, Mina Nevi'im, Mina Ktuvim. From Torah, from Nevi'im, and from Ksuvim. The Loki Vluvim, and they didn't accept it. His proof from Nevi'im was Yechyu Meitecha Nevelati Yukumun Hakitsu Vananu Shochnei Afar Kital Orot Talecha. The Pasuk in Yeshaya that says that Mesim will get up. And the Tzedukim said, V'dilma Meitim Shechaya Yechezkel. Maybe that's referring to the Mesim that Yechezkel revived. So, according to according to that, you see that the Tzedukim believed in that Yechezkel revived the dead, but they said, who says that there's a source in the Torah that it will happen again? So how could the Marshal say that the Gemara is asking, why didn't we bring a proof from the Mesim that Yechezkel revived, that Hashem can do it? Okay. The Iyun Yaakov says, because I would answer, yeah, Hashem can do it, and he's going to do it once. And he did it once. Who says he's going to do it again? So it wouldn't answer the question. Sefer called Einei Shmuel, from a Rav in Galicia in the 1800s, he offers another explanation. And he says that he interprets the Gemara's question like this, closer to Rashi's interpretation. He says, Gemara's question is that Gemara said that the Mesim the Tzadikim who will come to life will not die. Gemara says, "V'neilif metim shechaya Yechezkel." Let's learn from the Mesim who Yechezkel revived. Not like Rashi says that the tzaddikim in the future will die also, just like the Mesim that Yechezkel revived died, but rather that from the Mesim that Yechezkel revived who then died, we could learn that tzaddikim will not die. Why? Because why did Hashem use Yechezkel as an intermediary to revive the Mesim, the dry bones? The answer is that what Hashem does is permanent. When Hashem uses an intermediary, it's not permanent. These, as we'll see in the Gemara later, these Mesim were Rishayim. Hashem didn't want them to live forever. Therefore, he used Yechezkel as an intermediary to bring about their Tchias HaMesim. But the Tchias HaMesim in the future, which Hashem will do himself, and which will be for Tzadikim, clearly they won't die. And so he says that's the Gemara's question. And to that, Gemara answers, you can't learn that way because maybe this Mandamer holds that the whole story of Yechezkel is just a mashal. It never happened. So that is the three possible ways to understand what the Gemara is asking here. This concludes our discussion in the Gemara of Tchias HaMesim in the future. We will go on and talk for a while about Tchias HaMesim that Yechezkel did. And from there, we will go on to other events connected with the days of Yechezkel, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, and the Kirshana Eish, and several Gemaras about them, and then about Daniel. But that is the conclusion of the Gemaras about Tchias HaMesim in the future. So we will spend the rest of today and at least tomorrow summing up some of the things that we have learned. Today, I would like to go through a piece in the Sefer Leshem Shvo V'Achlama, which is Sefer by the Rav Leshem Shvo V'Achlama. The Shlomo Eliasov, grandfather of Rav Yosef Shalom Eliashiv, the grandfather of Rav Eliashiv, grandfather and Rebbe of Rav Eliashiv in Kabbalah, Rav Eliasov, or now he's sometimes referred to as Eliashiv because the family Hebraicized the name. Actually, he was the maternal grandfather of Rav Elyashiv, and the Rav Elyashiv's parents and Rav Elyashiv adopted his name so they could travel on the same visa to Eretz Yisrael. He was considered the greatest Lithuanian Mokobol of the late 1800s and early 1900s. And so you shouldn't think that I'm learning his Sfarim. This is in a sefer called Sha'arei Leshem Shvova Achlama, which has excerpted Hashkafa-related topics out of his Kabbalah Sfarim. This is in Sha'arei Leshem Shvova Achlama, page Tafkuf Dalad. For any of you who are learning his Sfarim inside, it's excerpted from Sefer Hadeya, Chelek Bet, Drush Bet, Anaf Gimel, paragraphs Aleph through Dal. He asks the following question. Incidentally, Rav Elyashiv, known as a posek and a dayan, but I read somewhere that someone once asked Rav Steinman, who is the greatest mukobol of our time? And he answered Rav Elyashiv. Rav Elyashiv was 17 or 16 or 17 when his grandfather died. And Rav Elyashiv was his grandfather's secretary and actually physically wrote some or of the Sfarim, not all, because this sefer, this particular piece, he says in the middle of it that he wrote it in 1897 before Rav Elyashiv was born. But actually, he says he wrote it in 5657. Rav Elyashiv learned Kabbalah from his grandfather, who died when he was 16 or 17 years old, and
clearly
he was under 40. Okay, so he asked the following question. We are taught that Hashem created the world, so and gave us bechira, free choice, so that we can have reward and punishment. It says that this is mentioned at Tanad Ve'Eliyahu, Zuta, and why did Hashem create the Yitzhara, and Zohar, and Arizal. This is well established. Hashem created the world the way he created it so that we could have trials and earn reward. So it's nice in theory, but it doesn't seem to be working out really well. The world is a completely, pardon the expression, messed up place. The first 2,000 generations, we talked last week about briefly, and it's a Gemara later, about the world being divided in 2,000 years of Tohu, 2,000 years of Torah, and 2,000 years of Mashiach. So the 2,000 years of Tohu, before man recognized God, total law. Those years are total loss. The same Pirkei Avos, 10 generations from Adam to Noah, and they just angered God. 10 generations from Noah to Avram, and they just angered God until Avram came along and took the reward of all of them. So those 2,000 years are total loss. 2,000 years of Torah, what percentage of the people were actually studying Torah? They were doing Avodah Zarah. They were Mara later in Sanhedrin. King Menashe comes to Rav Ashi in a dream and says, if you had been there, you would have been running after me to do Avodah Zarah with me. Okay. The Yetzer Hara was so strong. Okay. The pinnacle of the golden age of our existence was the first Beis HaMikdash in the days of Shlomo HaMelech. Chazal say that the day the Beis HaMikdash was dedicated, Shlomo HaMelech married Bas Paro, and Hashem decided to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. That means that the golden age of the Jewish people did not last even one night. It was already, the Beis HaMikdash was built, and that night Hashem's planning to destroy it already. 2,000 years of Mashiach, he says that that 1,657 of them have already passed, right? Which is where I got the year 1897. Okay? It's already the year 5657. Mashiach hasn't come yet. So this world is in really bad shape. Okay? You're telling me Hashem created it so he could reward us? Okay? It's not working out very well. So that's his question. So he says that you have to know something very important. And that is that he says that this explains the significance of Tchias HaMeisim and why the Gemara makes such a big deal about the importance of believing in Tchias HaMeisim. So it's Haimet Hu Ki Bezet Talui Ikar Hakol Lulei Zeh Haya Nirah Ki Kol HaBriya Kula Hi Rak L'Amal Ul'Tzla'a Ul'Davon Nefesh Chol Basav Ruach HaShlom. If not for our belief in Tchias HaMeisim, all of creation would be a waste. It would be for nothing. Lolan Adam Rishon Bichvado Aflai Lachat. Even Adam Rishon didn't last one day in the ideal state. From the almost from the minute the world was created, it was not the way it was supposed to be. Right? And if not for Tchias HaMeisim, then if not for our belief in Tchias HaMeisim, our belief that the world will be perfect someday, it's all for nothing. He continues, and he says, "Omek Hanyan Tchiat Meitim." Sorry. That is a very good and deep question, but it is tangential. I'm sure we'll find a way to fit it into a future shiur, but it's too deep a topic to talk about off the cuff. So he says, "Ve'inyan hu kinei omek ha'inyan d'tchiat meitim." He says that Tchias HaMeisim is not for mankind alone. It is a necessary destiny for everything that was created. Everything that existed from the day of creation until the end of the world, Tchias HaMeisim is its necessary destiny, he explains. V'lo yeh tchiyat ha-meitim le'adam levad. I'm skipping and picking out sentences. He said, tchiyat ha-meitim will not be for man alone. Ela kol pratei ha-kochot chol b'riya kula v'anaga asher b'chol yimei ha-olam. Every force that has ever existed, everything that has ever existed will find its fulfillment in time of Tchias HaMeisim. It says that we say that man is an olam katan, man is a small world. Well, if the small world is going to have Tchias HaMeisim, then the big world is going to have Tchias HaMeisim. He says, "Chol olam kulo bichlal v'prat v'pratei pratut asher v'chol zman kiyum kulo." Everything, every little detail that ever existed, okay, will find its fulfillment at the time of Tchias HaMeisim. Nothing in the world was created for nothing. Nothing will go to waste. No force, no item, nothing. It's all for ultimately a good purpose. And then he says, he cites the Arizal. He says that in fact, this is happening already. We see in this world that there are constantly new things being invented, things that we thought had no purpose, plants, animals, inanimate objects that we always wondered why they exist, or maybe we didn't even wonder why they exist. We're constantly discovering uses for things that exist, ways that they further the comfort of mankind and therefore increase man's ability to learn Torah and do mitzvos. Okay. This is the already the process of Tchias HaMesim for all of these forces in the world and all of these objects in the world that for thousands of years served no purpose. They seem to have been created for nothing. And now they are coming to their fulfillment. Good question. Good question. Okay. So hold on. It says, "Ein lecha rega v'azman kulo shlo yitchadshu pulot shonot b'chol kli ha'maaseh melechet uman." There's no moment when there aren't new things being invented or developed. So he says, that's why we say in davening, Mechaye Meitim. Hashem in the present tense is Mechaye Meisim, because it's an ongoing process which is happening now, that all the everything in the world is already in the progress of heading towards its fulfillment. And when this world is perfected or has achieved whatever its fulfillment is going to achieve, that's when there will be Tchias HaMesim for people, which he says will be in the days of Mashiach.
But that's sort of only one alternative for how,
what do you mean?
For how we get to Mashiach.
You mean everyone good or versus everyone bad? We will talk about that. Daf Tzadi Zayin, Tzadi Chet is where Mara's Ben Mashiach are, and we'll talk about that. Mashiach requires tshuva required before Mashiach comes. A generation that's all good versus generation that's all bad.
Or it's simply just time.
Right. It's difficult to say that Mashiach's going to come just because time is up. Presumably what it means is that Mashiach is going to come when the world is ready, which Hashem knows will happen no later than the year 6000 and might happen earlier. So, but you're right, there is what to talk about there. She says, so we see from all of this how important it is to believe in Tchias HaMesim. Then he addresses Yitzi's question. What about bad things?
Seems to be bad.
Okay. So he says that bad doesn't really exist. Harava onesh hu kishemen im ha'esh, sha'esh hu mi'ashemen, kein hu ha'onesh mi'hara. So first he says that punishment, that bad, evil, and punishment are like oil and fire, where the oil feeds the fire, and the fire destroys the oil. So too, evil feeds the punishment, and the punishment destroys the evil until they mutually burn themselves out. And that's what will happen, okay, when that's done. If you take something and you smear it with oil and you set it on fire, when the oil's all burnt up, you'll have the remnant of the thing itself, okay, with no fire and no oil, and that's the good that comes, that's left after the evil has burnt itself out. And there is beneath all of that, there is the good that comes out of it. This idea that he talks about of the evil burning itself out, I don't know if this is what he had in mind, but it reminds me of Tomer Dvora, which talks about why, for example, read Miguel's Esther. Miguel's Esther ends with Haman being killed. Okay? The Holocaust ends with Hitler, Yimach Shemo, dying. Why? Why didn't Haman? Why couldn't Haman's decree be nullified, and Haman is still prime minister? Or why couldn't Haman be in prison? Or why couldn't Haman live in retirement in, you know, some South American country? Okay, and the same thing, you know, with Hitler. Why is that? Obviously, Tomer Dvora, which is written in the 1500s, doesn't talk about Hitler, but it's the same concept, it seems. And he says that when evil finishes its job, it has no purpose in existing anymore, and it has to, extreme evil has to cease to exist. He explains that's the idea of the Seir LaZazel. We're taking our sins and putting them on a goat and throwing it off the cliff. It sounds almost like Avodah Zarah. But what exactly is that? So Tomer Dvora explains that the idea is we are saying, you know, we are finished with this evil, and we're destroying it. We're getting rid of it because it has no place here anymore, and therefore has no place in the world anymore. And that's the idea of the Seir LaZazel. We take the sins, we throw them off a cliff as if they don't exist anymore, or they, in fact, don't exist anymore. So that seems a little bit like this mashal of the oil and the fire mutually burning themselves out. The sins and the punishment burn themselves out until there's nothing left for them. And he says, when the evil and the punishment are gone, all the forces that were used for evil are left in a state of purity, and then they will exist in their full strength. Then they will shine in their full brightness with no limits whatsoever. Then in the next piece that they bring here, he just clarifies, this is not something we can see happening. I said that Tchias HaMeisim was already happening, and you know, you could see it a little bit in the fact that things that we thought there was no use for now suddenly are having uses that make our lives easier, and we can learn Torah better and do mitzvahs better if we use these things properly. But for the most part, this is a very subtle spiritual thing that's happening, and not something that we can expect to see going on.